You and I back together again, wrapping up another month, Tuesday, November 30th, 2021, on Connecticut Today. We checked in with Sacred Heart University Department of Government and Politics Chairman Dr. Gary Rose on the local and national political scenes, business consultant and expert Carl Gould making a return visit to the show, talking about what the new COVID-19 variant could mean for U.S. employers. We'll do our monthly check-in right now with a guy that we'd like to talk to of all things political, local, and national, the Sacred Heart University Department of Government and Politics Chairman, Dr. Gary Rose, is back with us. Gary, it's Paul here again. Sir, how are you?
Doing fine, Paul. Good to hear from you.
Well, Gary, we're kind of in that quiet time now, just before everybody's licking their chops, because we're going to turn the corner into 2022, and it's going to be midterm time and the governor election time, and the members of the General Assembly and some municipalities will have some off-year elections as well. Not a lot, but some. Gary, interesting poll numbers that have come out recently from the folks that do polling for you guys at Sacred Heart, you guys and gals there, and also a previous public policy polling effort. You know, that PPP poll was a little bit of a push poll, you know, Lamont v. Stefanowski, Lamont v. Themiscleridis. But I noticed, Gary, in that poll of the governor, both polls kind of agreed that he gets right around 50% or 50 or 51%, give or take a couple of decimal points, of a job approval rating, which is good. It's good to be above 50, Gary, but I was surprised about that number. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good number, as you say, Paul. I think that summarizes it very accurately, but it is by no means a great number. And at one time, the governor was, of course, substantially higher in the polls, and his numbers have come down, suggesting that in 2022, which you were talking about, we could very well have a very competitive race on our hands here in Connecticut. Lamont is still holding pretty steady, but at the same time, there's evidence now to suggest that there's an electorate out there that perhaps is having another opportunity to review, you know, his performance and maybe even having some second thoughts. And so I think we're going to have a pretty competitive race in 2022.
Yeah, and Gary, you know, the danger, you and I both know this, the danger in looking, I've always said at least, at approval numbers is, you know, it's kind of like a job setting, Gary. I've always tried to tell my listeners here, if a boss pulls you in the office, says, well, you can work with him or her on this project, and you say, well, geez, I'll take her. She may not be the ideal thing, but there's no way I want him. So even though the governor or any politician, Gary, is sputtering a little in their approval rating, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to lose.
No, it doesn't. And obviously so much of it depends on who is nominated as the Republican candidate for governor. Right now, there seem to be two leading figures. I know there is actually a third individual who's running too, but hasn't really received much coverage. Although, interestingly enough, I have received some notice from her saying, hey, I'm also running. but nevertheless, Claridis and certainly Stefanowski seem to be the leading contenders right now and seem to be getting most of the press. But you're right on that. The question becomes, even though the governor's approval ratings seem to have slipped somewhat, what do the voters think about the Republican candidates? And they may not be as enamored, certainly, with them either. And so there's a lot that can happen between now, obviously, and next November. But right now, I think, you know, the whole situation is pretty fluid.
And we seem, Gary, and the guest is Dr. Gary Rose for his monthly check-in with us on politics. Gary, we seem to be kind of in a pregame show of this whole thing with the Republican contingent in the state, especially at the state capitol, you know, yelling very loudly about what they perceive. And it is backed up by some police executives and the state public safety commissioner, Mr. Rovella, a spike in at least some juvenile crime with car thefts and carjackings and armed robberies here. And it certainly sounds, Gary, like that's going to be a major theme coming in here. And there's already a butting of heads here with, you know, the Republicans and even the governor kind of, Gary, sort of siding with them a little bit, saying, hey, we've got to do a little more here. But then there are some Democrats who are saying, well, you're playing the race card here. This is a national cutout that you're moving here into Connecticut. It's a fascinating match so far.
Yeah. I think that crime is really the sleeper issue in this forthcoming contest. I know when earlier we were talking, we were talking about taxes, property taxes obviously are an issue, and the sluggish economy that we have, and of course, the pandemic issue and some transportation problems. But now rising in importance, without a doubt, is crime in Connecticut. You mentioned the juvenile crime rate is particularly spiking. And, you know, law and order is actually on the minds of voters, and safety is obviously a real concern to many voters. And I think we're definitely seeing that emerge as as one of the top issues in the campaign. I can't say it's going to be the top issue, but it's certainly going to be a very relevant and important issue in 2022.
And I've had some Republican legislators tell me openly on this show saying, you know, it's tough because they tell me that they've had some Democratic legislators from the big city go up to them and say, well, yeah, join the club. This is what's been going on in our cities and the immediate surrounding area for years. And now you're just concerned about it because it gets into the white suburbs. Yeah. So, yeah, this is you're right. I can see this playing out even more once we flip the calendar.
Yeah, you know, the crime rate has been higher in the urban areas of Connecticut, but you're right. Car thefts are certainly a pretty big thing these days, and some very expensive cars too have been stolen out in the suburbs. And you're right. The suburban voters have not really been all that concerned about what goes on in urban Connecticut here, in urban cities, New Haven, Waterbury, Bridgeport, and so forth, and Hartford. But now, you know, the surrounding towns and those that are contiguous with the city, certainly, they're feeling the effects of this crime, too. And so it's becoming, I think, a statewide issue. It's by no means an issue that's just confined to the urban pockets of our state.
Dr. Gary Rose is the guest. Gary, hang on. We'll be right back with you. First, a look at traffic and weather together at 416. Coming up on 416, traffic and weather together on the Sixes. Mornings and afternoons right here on WICC. Yeah, go to Facebook.com and go to the search field there in the upper left-hand corner and put in WICC 600. And you can see all the latest stuff from all of us here at WICC. Back to open phones later on in the hour. Our monthly check-in rolls along with Dr. Gary Rose, chairman of the Department of Government and Politics at Sacred Heart University in Fairfield. Gary, before we shift to the national angle of this, one more thing locally. It appears by what we're seeing, Gary, that all this big money bomb coming in from Washington, you know, regarding the COVID money, that, I guess, may serve to extinguish a bit, Gary, at least in the reelection campaign of the governor next year. Any big talk of any mounting deficits? Because, you know, all that money, not only is it going to keep us in the black ink, Gary, I mean, they're talking about tax relief now. So that does come at a very opportune time for the governor, does it not?
Yeah, it really does. And you do mention the tax relief and the deficit issue. But, you know, in terms of bridges and roads and all of that, the infrastructure bill, very big, very important to Connecticut for sure. But people are not going to actually see, you know, the improvements in roads and bridges for at least a few years, I'm sure, or at least a couple of years. But nevertheless, the way that the money can be used to alleviate some taxation, as you note, I think is actually certainly going to help the governor in that respect, because that is something that can be done quite quickly and tangibly. And then when he's running for reelection, if we don't have what was predicted to be at one time a huge deficit, you know, it was supposed to be like maybe a $2 to $3 billion deficit by then. If that has been put under control as a result of the infrastructure money, then that's going to take one issue away from the Republicans for sure.
The national picture, Gary, as we turn the corner in a few weeks into 2022, very interesting. You've got the midterms coming up. I read something over the weekend. I don't know whether you saw it. It was a wire service story from the Associated Press that basically said this. It was basically quoting a lot of sources, you know, Washington leaks like a sieve, saying, you know what, basically, damn the torpedoes. The White House is saying that as soon as we get COVID under control, they think the president's ratings will bounce back up. And they're basically pushing their entire pile of chips, Gary, into the center of the table and saying we're betting on COVID to go away. And, you know, I wonder whether or not that's even feasible, A or B, wise, in the presidency of a guy who still makes very measured, very limited appearances.
I think they're really misreading the mood of the electorate. And President Biden's low approval ratings are not related to COVID. There are other issues that are at work here. And even if the pandemic is really put completely under control, which I don't think it will be, but if it is, those approval ratings, I don't believe, are going to change much. The problem has been the border, the exit from Afghanistan. You can't overlook that. And also the wokeness that's coming down from Washington that he is associated with is certainly at work in his low approval ratings. I don't believe it has much to do with COVID at all. It has to do with the fact that President Biden, when he campaigned, he claimed he was going to run as a centrist and bring people together, and he hasn't done that. In fact, he has moved decidedly to the progressive side of the party, that is the progressive wing of the party, and that's not sitting very well with the electorate. And so that's why his poll numbers are low. It has very little to do, in my view, even if some people might think that it has to do or say they don't like the way he's handling COVID, whatever, it goes much deeper than that. It is that they feel that President Biden is not really appealing to the center of the spectrum any longer, and that he did a pretty quick move to the left in order to placate the Bernie Sanders wing of the party, and that's not sitting well with a majority of the voters, and that's reflected in those abysmal approval ratings of his. It has very little to do with the pandemic.
And you know, Gary, I my career, I've advised a few candidates every so often about what to do. And, you know, a couple of years ago, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, worked on a couple of campaigns. So I learned, you know, and as you well know, too, in your career, there are things that you politically say to yourself, do we really want to do this? What kind of blowback are we going to get on this? And one of the things, Gary, that just makes me shake my head, and I guess five or six Democrats are saying, no way, this ain't happening. The nomination of this professor, I believe her name is Saule Omarova, to be the controller of the currency, I believe the office is. Now, you may say, well, what's the big deal? And you follow this, Gary, as well as I do, but a lot of people may not know. Well, she went to Moscow State University. And look, she may be the biggest convert to the American way of life, which apparently she's not when it comes to banking. But, Gary, to your previous point, I mean, why would they nominate somebody like that who, again, she can be an incredibly bright woman, but the moment middle America, Gary, the Rust Belt, hears Moscow State University, that's going to be a big no.
No, absolutely. And she wrote all about Das Kapital. Sure. Oh, yeah, I read all about her. Well, again, why would they nominate someone like that?
Yes.
The answer lies in that the pull of the left-wing element of the party is responsible for that. They are really in the driver's seat of that political party. And so as a result of that strong influence they have now over President Biden, and generally speaking, you know, the Biden administration, it's in a way not surprising to me to see somebody who is actually a Marxist being nominated for that position.
Yeah. Gary, it's weird because I'm sure there are millions of people, right? Like you and I were sitting back, you know, Joe Biden's no spring chicken. He's been on the block for a few years. And you look at it and say, this is not the guy that I've been watching for 30 or 40 years. What's going on?
Yeah, this was supposedly, you know, was going to be working class Joe. and the centrist Democrat and the guy who understood both sides of issues and, you know, could bring people together. It comes down to, again, what I was saying, the pull of the party is really on the progressive side now, and they have largely been controlling the messaging. They have controlling in many ways the issues that are moving through Congress. You can see that with the buyback Build Back Better bill, and then the infrastructure bill even, which contains a lot of programs that are unrelated to infrastructure. And so it really is President Biden, I feel, has really succumbed to the left flank of his party and isn't, I don't want to say that they're necessarily the puppet masters, as some have claimed. I think that's a little strong. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he definitely is very, very sensitive to their concerns and what they would say about him and what they would accuse him of doing if he doesn't really placate their policy interests and support them. And that's what's happening right now. And that explains, again, his public approval ratings.
And as always, great stuff, Dr. Gary Rose, Chairman of the Politics and Government Department at Sacred Heart University. Gary, thank you. Take care, and we'll talk down the road. We appreciate it.
All right, Paul. All right,
thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Good to hear in our monthly check-in with Dr. Gary Rose. Carl Gould joins us, worldwide leading authority on business. His company, Seven Stage Advisors, helps organizations grow to the next level. Entrepreneur who's built three multi-million dollar businesses by the age of 40. Carl Gould back with us. Carl, we know you're busy today. A couple of minutes we would appreciate. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing today?
And Carl, I'm doing great. And man, it's been a crazy day with this COVID thing. The WHO says, yeah, if you're 60, you probably shouldn't travel. The White House is trying to calm people down. But we hear federal officials now saying, well, you know, this variant thing, Carl, it could stretch out the recovery here. What are your thoughts on all this?
Well, you know, I heard an interesting interview recently with one of the doctors that said, look, these variants tend to be more contagious with each passing variant, but they're less infectious, meaning they're not as severe. So in every version we go through, is your chance of contracting it go up a little bit? It might. But is your chance of being hospitalized or being as deadly? Maybe not so much. So, look, it's going to take a while. I mean, last time we were on, we talked about this. We're in this for another winter and likely through the spring and summer until we all go back outside again in 2022. Mm-hmm. So for the next 6 to 9 months, we're going to have to, you know, mask up and, you know, keep our distance and practice hygiene and, mitigation, and we should be okay.
So is this, Carl, what you would tell some of your clients if somebody called you at Seven Stage Advisors and say, Carl, geez, I don't know what to do here, my employees? Is that basically encapsulating your advice?
Yeah, so what we would tell our client is create a safe environment for your employees, create a safe environment for your customers. So have sanitization stations, have a little, you know, one of those hand thermometers. Put some plastic barriers between where the workstations are or where the cashier station is. I mean, remember from the very, very beginning, Home Depot and Walmart and some of the larger stores were open the whole time. And they have done well. Why? Because they put the mitigation measures in place. So allow, you know, take everybody's temperature. It's one of the top ways to understand if you're coming down with something or have COVID or not, is you're taking your temperature. Make sure everyone takes their temperature each day. It's easy to do, and you'll know if somebody's in a compromised position.
And Carl, finally, last time you and I talked, the White House and President Biden had just introduced these mandates for testing or for vaccinations for big companies, 100 employees or above. I know you were a little skeptical about the practicality about that. And since then, now we've had court challenges pretty much put the brakes on this whole thing. What are your thoughts on that?
Look, I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. And you're seeing some of the results. I mean, you know, if you've tried to go on a plane recently and your flight was canceled, or you ordered a rental car only to get there and see a parking lot filled with cars, but you can't rent any of them because nobody has sanitized them. They haven't cleaned them because they don't have the staff. You know, I was in a I was in the airport, and there were a couple of restaurants that were normally very busy. They're closed. Why are they closed? Because they can't get employees. You know, and so when you put in these mandates, you are going to put businesses in a position where they are not going to have to send their good employees home, the ones that they were trying to get back in the first place, and you're making it more expensive for them to do business. So I'm much more in favor of the mitigation measures, which you have to do anyway, and have been proven, you know. Long before the vaccines, all those TSA workers that were working in the airports, they were using mitigation measures, and guess what? They weren't in mass getting sick. Right? It's been the mitigation measures from the very beginning. And I'm not saying the vaccine is not effective. If you're a candidate for it and it works for you, get it. But it's always been about the mitigation measures, and it will remain about those.
The website, 7stageadvisors.com, the number 7 and then stageadvisors.com. Carl Gould is the guest. Carl, good to hear from you. Thank you. Take care. Happy holidays, and we'll talk down the road. Thanks.
Happy holidays to you, too.
All right. Carl Gould there. His website, 7stageadvisors, the number 7, and then stage, S-T-A-G-E, advisors, A-D, V-I-S-O-R-S.com, 7stageadvisors.